So I want to talk to you. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes. You know what? Write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Okay. Sermon title today is "You Are the Man." Look at your neighbor and say, "You the man." Okay. Look at your other neighbor and say, "You the man." Okay. Let's start by turning to 1 Timothy. We have it up here on the screens for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's start with verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Starting with verse 5. "For there is one God." Everybody say, "There's one God." There's not eight gods. There's not four gods. There is one God. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher of the gospel. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that man should pray everywhere." Or say, we should be praying all the time. "Lifting up holy hands." Everybody, let's lift up our holy hands. Everybody, let's lift up our holy hands. See, how many know we ought to do what God says? Amen? Everybody, let's lift up holy hands right now. Say, "My hands are holy because God made me holy." Put your hands down. See, some people are like, no. The Pentecostals do that. That's a denominational thing. I'm not Pentecostal, Pastor. I'm not like you. I'm not. That's extroverted. That's all the you know what? No. That's not, you know what? The Bible says that we ought to lift up holy hands. Amen? So you can, and how many know we ought to believe the Bible? How many came to change? See, doesn't make any difference what your personality type is. Stop allowing you to dictate what you are going to be and who you are going to be and what you're going to do. That's not up to you. Bible says lift up holy hands. Let's lift up holy hands. Amen. Amen. Let's get our hands up again. Let's lift them up. Let's lift them up. Let's lift them up. Hallelujah. What are you doing? I'm lifting up holy hands. I came to change today. Yeah, but I'm not used to doing that. Well, praise God. That's, you know what we call that? We call that growth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many ready to grow today? Yeah. See, some of you have never, you always felt, you don't want, everybody's looking at me. Nobody's looking at you. That, that comes from our egocentric, ego run, everybody's looking, nobody's looking at you. Get your hands up, amen. And listen, and God's looking at you. So let's be obedient. Let's please God today, amen. All right, that's side note, but important note, right in the text. Lift up holy hands. Look at this. "I desire there for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." Watch this. "Without wrath or doubt." Everybody say, "Without wrath." Listen, you want to fulfill what God has called you to do. That's what we're going to talk about today. Fulfilling the calling on your life. How many want to fulfill the call on your life? Well, you can't do that by having wrath. Stop being mad at everybody. Amen. Stop being mad at everybody. Amen. Stop allowing little things to be. Listen, wives, husbands. Stop allowing little things to be a big deal. You know what? Y'all, shh, Hey, save the drama for your mama. Amen. Amen. And some of you have been taught that. Why are you like that? Because your mama was like that. Don't start talking about my mama, Pastor. I'm just saying, you know what? You know your mama was like that. And you know what? And you took that and you're emulating what your mama used to do. And your house is a mess. You know what? It's no wonder your kids want to leave right away. Because there's all this anxiety. You know what I mean? Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You got no business, you know, being all, save it, man. Relax. Give grace to other people. Amen. Are you learning something today? You're not going to fulfill your calling. You're not going to be all that mighty. You're like, I don't understand why God's not using me. I understand why God's not using you, because you won't lay that down. How many know if you keep on getting upset over things that you should not get upset about, pretty soon everything you get upset about, it becomes how you roll. It becomes who you are. And the Bible says, no, lift up your hands, pray. You know what? Don't get upset. You know what I mean? Relax. You know what? Stop getting in wrath all the time. Amen. And start believing God. Stop doubting everything. I don't think God's going to heal me. Well, that's a stupid statement anyway, because God has already healed you. Amen? So start thanking God for what he did 2,000 years ago when he took his stripes on his back, and start receiving by faith the healing that God's provided for you. Amen. Hey, and that's not even my point today. I want to talk to you today about how you are going to fulfill the calling on your life. Look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. I want to talk about you fulfilling what God has called you to do in your life. We are so caught up with the position. We're so caught up in what we want to become. And so what we do is we resist, we grimace at the thought of the process. What I want to talk to you is about the process today. The process. Because what we do is we want to focus about the position. But God wants to get us to that position, but he wants to develop us through the process. Does this make sense? It's the mission, everybody say the mission, that brings you into the position. But we want to talk about, you think we're getting Pentecostal now, huh? But we want to talk about the position. We want the position. God wants us to have the position. But we focus so much on the position that we don't understand that there's a mission in that. Oh, yeah. Oh, Pastor, I want a husband. Give me a husband. Well, why do you want a husband? Why do you want a husband? Because if you understand what a husband is about, a husband is an opera. Oh. Ladies, you ready for this? See? You know what? Can somebody handle the truth today? I want a husband. Okay, here's what you're really saying if you understand. I want to serve somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I want. You know, my girlfriend said they're supposed to serve me. Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? No, you want a husband? You need to serve a husband. Amen? You need to help your husband. Amen? You need to be a servant to your husband. I don't think that's biblical. It is biblical. It's absolutely biblical. What do you want a wife for? You know what? You want a wife? You want a wife? Oh, I want a woman. I want a woman. Okay, well, then get ready to serve, because that's what the purpose. Guys, you've been watching Disney too long. Amen? Amen. The purpose is the mission. See, we want the position, but we don't want any of the work. And we don't understand. You know what? We have developed all this, you know what? I mean, there are people walking around, you know what I mean? Oh, who are you? Well, let me tell you, I'm Bishop so-and-so. Oh, who anointed you Bishop so-and-so? Well, exactly. The Lord did. Oh, my goodness. You know what? And what we have is we have these positions, these self-appointed positions, and there's no skill set. Listen, I don't want a doctor. You know what? I don't need a doctor from General Hospital. You know what? Operating on me. You know what I mean? I mean like General Hospital, the soap, you know, on TV. Ooh, you know, and he's got all, you know what I mean? No. Why? Because he don't know nothing. You know, I read this recently. There was a guy, and he wasn't a doctor. You know what? And what? How did he? He went in. I don't. You know what? He went to some white coat place and put Dr. So and So on his thing. Had it embroidered there. And he walked in a hospital one day and he started practicing medicine. And they finally. I mean, he was like doing it for a long time. And then he finally, you know what? They finally caught him. And then he, you know what? They threw him in jail. When he got out, guess what he did? He's got his coat pack on, went back in another hospital, started doing it there for a while. How many want that guy working on you? See, say it's about the process. It's not just about the position. It's about the process. And let me tell you about God. Well, look at this. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The man. Everybody say the man Jesus Christ. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, you know what? It doesn't say, you know what? One mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Jesus Christ. Every word is important in the Word of God. Every word is God breathed. God picks his words very specifically. And it says the man Jesus Christ. You know why it's the man Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is a perfect mediator. He feels your what you've gone through, the Bible says. He knows what he understands what it feels like to be sleepy, because Jesus was sleepy. He understands what it feels like to be hungry. He understands what it feels like to be frustrated and work with people who you say something, but they didn't hear you. Hello. He understands that all. Let's tell some people, nobody understands me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, you can say that, but that's not the truth. Because God understands you. Why? Because God was Jesus. So you can't walk around saying, no, he don't understand me. I want to talk to you about five important things in the process of working through the process. Number one, I want to teach you this. We must see the mission, not just the position. We must see the mission, not just the position. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Look at this. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. See, the mission, listen, you think the point is being in the position. That's not the point. The point is, how do we get through in the character of the mission? Jesus is an example. He came. Listen, is Jesus Christ king above all kings? Yes. See, that's his position. But what was his mission? He came to serve. You don't remember the Bible says that how was he able to take all that junk at the cross? You know what the Bible says? He was thinking about you and I. He's not thinking about, God's not thinking about, ooh, you know what? And I'm, you know what, when I die, you know what, that I'm gonna serve, you know what, and it's gonna be great because when that happens, I'm gonna be king of all kings. Jesus isn't thinking that. You know what he's thinking about? For the joy that was set before him. The joy isn't a big crown. The joy was you and I. I still swim, but when I was swimming in high school, you know what? I swam. And I remember sometimes just swimming and just every time just because you had to just pull the water. That's what you're doing in swimming. You're just pulling the water. And I remember just getting so tired. And I remember just thinking, you know what? Yeah, you're pulling the water. But you know what? Let me tell you what. You're going to get out of the pool and everybody's going to see every single muscle in your stomach. And I would pull and I would just think of just, man. How many know that was completely egocentric driven? Right? See, I'm thinking of the position. I'm not thinking of the mission. Jesus was thinking about you. That was the mission. And when we get so wanting to focus on, you know what, being served. No, guys, it's not about that. It's about having the opportunity. Like the one pastor said, I don't want a big church. I want a big church. He asked, you know, pastor, pray that my church should be big. And the older pastor asked the younger pastor, why do you want your church to be big? You know what? He didn't have an answer. The pastor said, I'm not gonna come in agreement with that. Yeah, but pastor, you want our church to be big. That's right. That's right. Do you know why I want our church to be big? Because as many people as we have here and as many people as we have in the second service, you know what, and as many people as we have as Esperanza, I know more people need to hear this message that I'm going to preach to you today. I want more people to come into the kingdom of God. I want more people to be renewed in their marriages. I want more people to be, you know what, saved from the addictions that they're from. And I know that there's more people out there that need to be in here. That's why I want to have a large church. Amen. Does that make sense? Number one, we've got to understand the mission. And we've got to embrace the mission, not just the position. And you know what the Bible says? Don't put a novice in a high place. Why? Because it's like putting that first year nursing student into surgery. They don't know what to do. That's not going to be a smart thing, right? But that's what we want. We want, oh, no, no, no. Here's what we want. No, no. Give me the position. Give me the position. I deserve the position. Well, start to embrace the mission. Start to embrace the process. Start to embrace because let me tell you about God. God doesn't really care about the position. He cares about building your character. That's what he cares about. And so we have become this ego-driven, you know what, where it's the ego that causes us just to want the position. No, no, no. Let's think about what the mission is, number one. Number two, look at, or actually before we go to number two, look at Joseph. I want to talk about Joseph for a while today. Joseph, you know what, when he was young, he understood what the position was. At some point in time, Joseph was going to serve, right? I mean, he was going to be in a position, he was going to be in a rulership position. Is that not right? Remember the dream? So he gets drunk with the dream. He's so excited about the position, he does something very foolish. He goes to his brothers, and this would be bad no matter what, but really bad, he goes to his older brothers. How many know he didn't have two older brothers? I mean, what is this guy thinking? Here's what he's thinking. He's thinking about what you and I think. The position. And it puts him in a big problem. Number two, let's talk about allowing God to maneuver us. Say, I've got to allow God to maneuver us. What did God do to Joseph? God maneuvered him into all kinds of different places that he, why? Because he needed to develop his character. Amen? Pastor, but Pastor, I'm in the pit, man. You don't know how bad I'm in the pit right now. Well, how many know if you can't worship God in the pit, how in the world are you supposed to worship God in the palace? You know what I mean? We just, oh, I'll tell you, when everything's good, then I'll be happy for Jesus. No, no, no. Here's the question. Can you worship God in the pit? Can you give God glory when everything's not perfect in your life? I'm asking somebody. You know what? Should we? You know what? Is the only time, because that's what's happened in our society, our Christian society. We want everything to be perfect, and then we'll give God some glory. God says, no, no, no. I want you. Can you worship with me? Can you be in Potiphar's house and still give me praise? Can you be? And then, you know, because here's how it is. Joseph sees the position, right? And what's the position? The position is he's going up. Right? Right? He's going up. He's going to be high up there. His parents, his brothers, they're going to worship. They're going to bow down. He's going up. And God says, hey, you want to go up? Come over here. See, we want to go up, but are you willing to go where God wants to take you to go up? Because what I've noticed is sometimes it's up, but it's down. Hello? I'm just asking, was being in the pit, did that seem up or down? Everybody say it seemed down. See, it seemed down. No, God's saying, see, God wants to, we must recognize God's plan to maneuver you. No, I don't want to move. No, because, you know what? No, that's not comfortable. Watch this. Was Potiphar's house, was that up? A slave in Potiphar's house, was that up or down? Was that up or down? It's down. God's maneuvering him. But watch this. Will you allow God to maneuver you? Do you only want to serve in Newport Beach? Hello, somebody. Do you only want to serve do you only want to go with us? You know what? To wherever we're going, if the vans are air conditioned, you know what I mean? I mean, we get upset because we're stopping. You know what? I look at your neighbor and say, I know this isn't you. You know, we're stopping, and we stop at Taco Bell, and you throw a fissy fit. Yeah, that's a really bad hissy fit. You throw a fissy fit. You throw a fizzy fit because, you know what, man, I don't know why the Taco Bell, I don't even like Taco Bell. Listen, here's what I'm saying. You know what? Understand that God is trying to, you know what? You're upset because things aren't. Listen, could it be, I'm just asking you, could it be that God has put you in that position? Is God big enough to, or are you smart enough to allow him to maneuver you in a place that is uncomfortable? Uncomfortable. In order that character would be developed in you, that you could get in that position and then be able to really be good in that position. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, we've got to allow God to be able to position us. And we've got to allow God to maneuver us. Joseph's promotion seemed like it was down, and then it went down, and then how many know it went more down? Amen. But what's happening? Let me tell you what's happening. Character is being developed. That's what's being developed. Stop complaining about the development of our character. Stop complaining about the development of your character. Joseph learned in the pit. That's what Joseph learned. What is in you all will always outweigh what is on you. What is in you is going to outweigh what's on you. He had a coat. What happened to his coat? He didn't have a coat anymore. But see, what's in you is more important than what's on you. He learned that. He did what was right, but it didn't go right away. How are you going to learn that? You ever done something right? That's what he did. He did what was right. And then there wasn't an immediate. That's what we want. We think that, oh, if I, you know what? We start to tithe and we're tripping out because, man, I've been tithing for a whole 3 weeks, you know what? And nothing's happened, Pastor. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, Joseph learned that, you know what? He could do the right thing. What did he do? He didn't respond to laying with Potiphar's wife. He ran. He did the right thing. And yet there wasn't an immediate gratification. Does that mean that because you're not gratified immediately, does that mean that God didn't notice what he's doing? Or has God promised, you know what? No. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Joseph learned that. Where did he learn that? He learned that in the pit. He didn't learn that in the palace. God can promote you from anywhere, from the prison to the palace. Man, how would you feel like, boom, one day you're in the prison, next thing, boom, you're in the palace. How many know that's a good thing to learn? That God, listen to me, somebody. God, you say, yeah, but I'm in the prison, though. No, listen. God can put you in the palace tomorrow. Stop thinking that who you are. Stop thinking that your parents, what you grew up in, is going to cause you not to be effective in the kingdom of God. Because God can promote you like that. Amen. He learned that God could use anyone. Who did God use? God used that butler. Somebody who opens the doors for people, folds people's clothes. You know what? How many know God can use anyone? See, what's he doing? He's learning all these things. Why? Here's why. Because God is putting him in positions to learn this. See, we need to stop resisting where God has put us and recognize, no, he's put you there on purpose to learn something. Who's learning something today? Number three, are you getting this? Let's talk about management. Can you handle? We must prepare ourselves to manage it. Everybody say manage it. See, we've got to manage it. We've got to stop crying about it. Stop seeing this process as the negative. And start seeing it as the blessing that it is. Start to handle it. Start to manage it. Stop crying about it. You know what? You can manage it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop, you know what? And stop having a pity party. Understand this. Manage, you've got to understand, you've got to be able to manage people. You've got to be able to manage your problems. You've got to be able to understand, to manage your emotions. You've got to be able to manage your fears. You've got to be able to manage the drought. You've got to be able to manage your insecurities. David, with Joseph, with everything he was given, he had to figure out, how in the world am I going to manage what God has given me? And you can't do that with being insecure and thinking, oh, I can't. No, you can. But you've got to be able to manage some stuff. Because if you can't manage here, how in the world are you supposed to manage here? If you can't handle some of the emotion stuff that you're going to, God, listen, you resist it, but the Bible says, count it all joy when you're going through that. See, you've got it in the wrong column. You see it as a negative. It's not a negative. Manage it. I've heard different evangelists and different people, and you know, Joyce Myers and others, who said, you know what, I remember when I was believing, you know, having to believe for $10,000 a month to come in, that we would be able, and it seemed like $10,000 was a huge amount. But what happened is, because we started to have our faith, you know what, where we started to believe, yeah, I believe $10,000 can come in every month or every week, whatever it was. And now she says, oh my goodness, our budget is whatever it is, 100 times that. How can you do that? Let me tell you what, you were able to manage the $10,000. How in the world are we going to have faith to raise $300,000? And I'm believing this is just one of the many projects that God has put on my heart. What are the other projects? I'm going to tell it to you when it's time. Amen. But for you know what? You know why I am totally believing for $300,000, no problem. Everybody say $300,000, no problem. Here's why. Because I remember what it was when we were just doing the Hope Park, and all we were doing is doing a little electrical, buying some benches and doing some concrete. That's all it was. And we were looking to raise $10,000. We had never raised. I'm not talking about tithes. Don't mix the two up. You ought to tithe and you ought to give. But you know, I'm talking about raising $10,000 above the regular tithes that are coming in. I remember thinking, man, whoa, $10,000. You know what? And I remember your wife was a blessing, because she would stand up and she would say, you know what, way back in the day, and she'd say, you know what, we got this. And she'd smile and had confidence. We got this. And I started, and that, you know what, that words of faith, I said, yeah, we got this. And we saw that silly little thermometer go up and up and up and up. And someday, you know what, it wasn't too long, and we raised $10,000. See, what I'm saying is, I could handle the $10,000. And then when it was time to raise $150,000, you know what, I had more confidence. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you've got to be able to handle your emotions. You know what I mean? And not just allow your, see, we have allowed our emotions. See, we get in a tough situation. We're in a struggle in our marriage. We're a struggle in our finances. We're a struggle in just, you know what, our security, where we're at. And we just allow our emotions to run us all over. And what do you think? How in the world are you going to get into the position? How in the world are you supposed to be in this position up here and you're acting like a maniac down here? Who am I preaching to today? Come on. No, you got to handle it. You got to take your, and you know what, and the colleges now, it's like, oh, everything, you know, is a big, hey, man, we got to be tough. We got to say, you know what, with God, all things are possible. You know what? I'm just asking, why'd you get married if you didn't want to get married? Marriage is not for wimps, amen? Marriage is for tough people. You know what? Who's going to make a decision? Amen. And can I tell you what? Before you take that in the negative, let me tell you what. Marriage, if you do it God's way, marriage is a blessing. You're going to be blessed of the Lord. Ministry is a blessing. You know, so many people get, you know what, I hear, you know, so many pastors talking about how tough ministry, oh, ministry is so tough. Oh, my goodness. You listen, you have been called to ministry. That's an honor, amen. You ought to put a smile on your face. Well, what's happening? It's just your emotion. You're just allowing your emotions to just go crazy. And then you're wondering why you're not promoted. Let me tell you why. Because you're not managing it. How, you know what? God is looking. He will promote you as you start to be able to manage it down here. Amen? And then you'll get promoted. But you got to understand. Joseph had to manage his emotions when he was in jail. You know, he could have said, man, I went from a slave and all I did was right. And you start, listen, you know what Joseph had to manage? Listen to me, somebody. He had to manage his embitterment towards people. Can I tell you what will keep you out of your God position? That God wants you to be in is your embitterness towards people. It'll just shut the whole thing down. You have got to, you know what? You have got to act like Jesus. Jesus said of those people who were killing him, he said, you know what? God, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Oh, dude, my friend knew what they were doing. Did anybody see the shack? Who saw the shack? Is that all? Oh my goodness, you got to see this movie. I saw it twice. Saw five. This movie is oh no, I read it on the internet. Hey, do me a favor. Oh my goodness. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. You need to go see The Shack. Because this man, you know what, had his daughter killed and violated, and God says to him, you need to forgive. And this man, see, Jesus says, they don't know what they're doing. See, you're so quick to make a judgment on somebody else, and you have no idea what they've gone through. And he was beaten by his father, and he has a vision of his father in heaven. And his father says, I'm sorry. And then he has a vision of his grandfather beating his father. See, does that justify? Are the gangbangers justify their shedding innocent blood? Are they justified? No. But vengeance doesn't come from you. Vengeance needs to come to God. You know what should come from you? You're praying for your enemies. That's what Joseph had to do. He had to manage, you know what, his anger towards his brothers every single day that he was a slave. And he was able to do that and say, yes, at least, yes, yes, but look, and God, and because he was able to manage it, God put him on the top. Yeah, but then he did what was right. And I know life is tough. And you're walking around and you're critical and you're judgmental and you're mad. And you're mad at your husband and you're mad at your wife and you're mad at your kids and you're mad at your ex-husband and you're mad at God. Because my life ought to all be good. God's trying to make it good. He's trying to develop you. He's trying to get you to the place where you can really be used of him. Which brings me almost to my last point. Look at your neighbor's smile. Say, almost my last point. Number four. Number four, guys in the back. We must be ready to be used as a mediator. Watch this. Watch this. Who is the mediator between the food and his brothers? Who are going to the ruler and asking for food? Who's the mediator? Joseph. Joseph is this. Listen to me, guys. You know what your job is? You are God. You know what God is doing? He's trying to get you to mediate between God and man. Can I tell you what Shayla, who's the marriage guy? Jimmy Evans. Can I tell you what Jimmy Evans says? Jimmy Evans says that you, spouse, you have to redeem your spouse over and over and over again. The very person who's taken you off, God says you need to forgive them. See, God wants to use you to be a mediator of the same people. That's what Jesus was. That's what Joseph was. Oh my goodness, do you see? Jesus is up there with the Etch-a-Sketch. And he's etch-a-sketching. He's etch-a-sketching. Whatever. He's turning the knobs. And he's turning the knobs in Joseph's life. Watch this. But you know what you see on the etch-a-sketch? You see Jesus. Who was sold for pieces of silver? Jesus or Joseph? Are you seeing this? Who was rejected by his family? Was it Jesus? Who does it look like? Joseph is a picture of Jesus. See, Joseph is the mediator between God and his ungodly brothers. God wants to use you to be a mediator. And you can't be used by God if you keep on walking in wrath, if you keep on walking in bitterness. You can't do it. He can't use you that way. And finally, I save the best for last. Somebody say, you the man. Pastor, I don't even understand you. You're the title, man. Why didn't you title it something different? Because you don't know, because I haven't come to the last point. Somebody say, you the man. My final point is this. The manifestation. See, there is going to be, he's etch-a-sketching, whatever. What you think is Joseph and his life, and he's looking like Jesus. Can I tell you what? That's a manifestation of God on this earth. That is what you are. He's doing the same thing in your life. And if you will allow God, listen to me, if you will allow God. See, it's all about your allowing God to do this. Because if you will allow, if you will see the process, if you will stop resisting the process, if you will start to embrace the process, if you will do what James says, count it all joy, knowing that your character is being developed, that you would be the perfect man, able to handle anything God is preparing you to do great things and to be this mediator, and God wants to move greatly, but you've got to allow him to manifest in your life. And you can't do that if you're resisting what he's asking you to do. Primarily to forgive others of what they've done for you, to you. Guys, you don't have this in the back. I need to go over these scriptures quickly. 1 John 4:17. These scriptures I have to show you because you won't believe them if I just quote it. Therefore, take up the whole... No. Guys, follow me. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is... so are we. Yes, Pastor, when we get to heaven someday, hallelujah. In this world. Somebody say, in this world. 2 Peter 1, again, you're not going to believe it. I got to show it to you. As his divine power has given. Everybody say, given. You already got it. Whose power? His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life. In other words, all the stuff you need for life, you got it. And it's divinely given to you. Stop saying you can't forgive your husband. Stop saying you can't forgive your wife. Stop saying you can't forgive that person who jacked you up 30 years ago. Stop saying that. Why? Because you've already given it. It's divine. It's supernatural through the knowledge of him who called us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all the stand, the whole armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth. You know what? Whose armor is that? That's God's armor, amen? You got it all, and you're walking. Whose armor is it? Hey, has anybody done, remember when you were little, you used to dress up as Halloween and you were a ninja turtle, amen? And if I saw you, you'd go, whoa, trip out, we got ninja turtles here. You wouldn't know, oh, that's Brian, you know what I mean? That's Paul, you wouldn't know that. Well, Paul, you'd know because he was so tall, but what I'm saying, you wouldn't know, you'd go, that's a ninja turtle. God says, put on the whole armor of God. Because when you're walking, you know what? God wants it. You know what? Everybody around you here is going, oh my goodness. That's God. Are you catching this? See, you got to have the manifestation. That's God. How would he know the difference? You have, whose armor is it? It's God's armor. Last scripture. You guys don't have this. Go here in the back. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll stop with this. This is so incredible. Can I tell you what? We're looking for our deliverance through a president. We're looking through our deliverance to the Congress. We're looking through our deliverance through the Senate. We're looking through our deliverance. Hey, it ain't got, you know what? And I'm not ripping on any president, okay? I'm just saying, you're looking the wrong way. It's not, guys, it's not them that's going to deliver the world. You know who it is? It's us who are going to deliver this world. Look, watch this. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk. What? No, guys. 8, that's a good verse, but that's not the one I want. 8 verse, I probably didn't tell you what yet. No, I got it. 19. Watch this. It's a manifestation. Who's the world waiting for? for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation, for the revealing, what? Of the sons of God.
Yes, hallelujah. And Pastor, I understand that theologically, you know, hermeneutically. You know what? I understand what that's saying. And it's not saying what you're saying, it's saying. Because that is going to come as God separates the wheat from the chaff. And that's when we will be revealed. Hello? That's true. That's true. But you know what's also true? That there's going to be a revelation that you aren't a slave anymore. That you're not a servant anymore. That you are, how many are a son of God? Listen, you're not, listen, part of the revelation that the world is looking for is for you to recognize that you are a son of the living God. The apostles recognized it, and the Bible says that mighty things were done at the hands of the apostles. Why? Because they recognize Jesus said, you know what, that you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and that's going to happen to anyone who believes. When you get revelation that you're a child of God, then you're going to step up to the plate, and it's not going to make a difference whether you're at Potiphar's house. You're going to step up. Whether you're in the prison, what, you know, what did he do to the prison? You know what Potiphar did? Potiphar put him over everything. And then he gets, and then he does the right thing, and then he gets, you know, thrown into jail. And you know what the jailer does? This is even a bigger manifestation of the Son of God. The jailer says, oh my goodness, you handle it. Here are the keys. To another fellow prisoner. Not a fellow prisoner, a prisoner. Here's the keys. I'm going to get a Coke. I'm going to Starbucks. That's what he did. Are you kidding me? See, when you and I start manifesting who we are, I'm telling you what, I can't keep you down. Nobody can keep you down. Yeah, but I'm Hispanic. Like God doesn't know that. Amen. God made you Hispanic. How many know God loves Hispanics? Amen. Yeah, but I'm black. Yeah, but Joe's going to say then, yeah, but I'm white. Got all kinds of people now saying, oh, no, I'm white. That's a problem. Listen, it's just a bunch of baloney. Let me tell you what. If you're white, hallelujah. Amen. Don't make any difference what you are. God loves what you are. He made you that way. Amen. You got crazy curly hair. He loves that. Amen. All I'm saying is this. Understand this. God made you the way you are. And if when you got a revelation that Christ is inside you, the hope of glory is in you. The hope of glory, the hope for mankind is in you. You are walking all over the place. You're a wall-to-wall Jesus. Yeah. Well, I won't say that. They're waiting for you to get a revelation of that. That's what they're waiting for. Why? Because you can bring freedom. Did you learn anything?
Yeah.